Welcome to Briefcase Radio Workshop. My name is Omar Muhammad, helping you improve and progress in business and in life. Tonight we're talking about, we're going to go back to the customer plan, where we keep them meaning customers, in your business, because we all have to eat. And tonight we're talking about MSU startups, and MSU means Morgan State University Startups. So as you probably hear, read, and see that entrepreneurship is exploding across the country, especially at universities, when whether it's students or faculty or staff getting involved in entrepreneurial opportunities, those opportunities are there and people are getting involved. Many universities have incubators, accelerators, boot camps, alumni giving back their time and money. And tonight we're going to focus on yours truly. Go Bears, Morgan State University, and we call this MSU Startup. So let me introduce the Morgan State Startup individuals here. So I'm going to start with the individuals that are online. We have Raven Jones. She has a company called Fire Your Boss Academy. Raven, how are you?
Hello, I'm fine.
All right, good deal. Also, we have Floyd Wright. He has a company called Briscoe and Associates. Hey, Floyd.
Hello to everyone. How's everybody today?
All right, good deal. And in studio, we have Sadiq Ali. He has a company called The Millionaire Manners. So, Sadiq, what's going on, man?
All is well. All is well. Happy to be here.
All right, so let's get the demographics out of the way first. So let's start with what your major was when you were here at Morgan State University. And how many years have you been in business? We'll start with you, Floyd.
Okay. My major at Morgan was accounting. And I'm probably the youngest person on the phone on the studio right now. I've been in business for about 28 years. And I have an accounting practice, tax practice, over in Charles Village in Baltimore City.
All right, good deal. Yeah, you are the oldest, man. I just turned 28. Raven?
I said the youngest.
Go for it, Raven.
Well, I'm actually still currently a student at Morgan. I'm in the Fabulous MBA program. This is I'm going into my last semester in the program, so I will be completing the program in December of 2014. I have been a full-time entrepreneur since August of 2011. I fired my boss 2 weeks after my 23rd birthday. So I'm happy to say that this August I will be turning 26 years old. So I'm entering my fourth year in business.
Wow, good deal, good deal. Sadiq?
Very well. Let's see. My major here at Morgan was business and management. So I came out, I guess, in the middle of everybody, came out in 2004. So I guess my journey to entrepreneurship was a rather roundabout route. I grew up with a father who was an entrepreneur and self-employed for over 30 years. So I grew up with that in my DNA, but found myself in corporate America for close to 10 years before finally clicked. The stars aligned, as they say, and been definitely on my own since 2012. So we're talking the last pretty much 2 years, and it's been exciting. I'm really excited.
All right, good deal. So, as I indicated, other universities across the country and really around the world are gearing, well, not, I shouldn't say gearing up, because they are already doing the entrepreneurship. They have activities. So for those who are tuned in tonight, follow us at MSU Startups. That's a Twitter handle that we're currently using to showcase startups from Morgan Heights, whether they be current students, faculty, staff, or alum. We want to make sure that the university gets its play as it relates to entrepreneurship. So now let's go into what you do. So Raven, let's start with you. Fire Your Boss Academy. Tell us about that.
Basically, what I do in my business is I pretty much have used my own personal and spiritual journey going from employee to entrepreneur. Like I said, doing that at such a young age, 23 years old, it's definitely been a very tedious at times process, but by the grace of God, I'm where I'm at. So I'm thankful for a lot of the mistakes that I made along the way, because those are mistakes that helped me to assist other aspiring entrepreneurs in not making those same mistakes that I made in my journey. So what I do within the Fire Your Boss Academy is I have a comprehensive coaching program which is designed to help people successfully make the transition from employee to entrepreneur within 12 months or less. I'm happy to say that I've had people complete the program in as little as 2.5 months, and I've had some people take as long as 9 months to complete it. But basically, the training modules that people have access to in signing up for those programs are designed so that you can actually build your business to the point that it is a sustainable business once you leave your 9-to-5, so that within 6 months you're not actually considering going back to a 9-to-5.
Good deal. So thank you for that, Raven. Floyd, let's go to you next. You know, how are you helping people?
Well, with my practice that I have in Charles Village, I have been mentoring to a lot of young individuals who are looking to start their own business or at least to finish their college education and to go into a business endeavor. And I have been fortunate enough to be able to hire them on a part-time basis to come in to learn office skills, learn networking, learning customer service, and also to be aware of what skills can be out there as far as using the internet and social networking. It's been very good for me because since I have graduated from Morgan, I met a lot of people who are still attending Morgan and who are on Morgan's campus who have been very instrumental in helping me to move further in my business. And I've just been taking that information and passing it on to as many young people as I possibly can. And it's been very rewarding. I've been able to see a number of these individuals to come back to me later and let me know how they've been able to excel either through their academic life or what they may have picked up the skills while they worked at the Bristol and Associates Tax Office.
All right. Good deal. Sadiq?
Awesome. It sounds like my business is sort of in the middle of what Floyd and Raven are both doing right now, but I've recently founded the Millionaire Manners Academy, which is a training and consulting and lifestyle organization that focuses on really the development and furthering of personal and professional etiquette. As we like to say, we're bringing manners back, making that sexy again. The cool thing about manners and etiquette is the fact that no matter what your vocation is, be it an entrepreneur, if you do have a 9-to-5, or if you're in an elementary school, the manners and these life skills do nothing except accentuate what you're already doing, which is the beauty of the program that we've rolled out. So, again, sort of similar to Raven, we have comprehensive training on, again, everything from networking to confidence building to communication, networking, et cetera. And, again, it's all in an attempt to bring those manners back to the forefront and let folks know that it's okay to be polite, and that's actually the different thing to do. And then the other cool thing is that in conjunction with the founding of the Academy, I'm happy to say and I'm excited to announce that I've actually just completed recently my first book, which is also entitled Millionaire Manners. And that is the subtitle is The Men's and Boys' Guide to Social Grace in the New Age, which is, again, full of tips, tricks, personal experience aplenty that will just help lots of individuals just become better versions of themselves. And again, the book forms a lot of the source material for my modules and trainings through Millionaire Manners Academy. So I'm very excited about that. The book releases on June the 14th, and we're actually going to be hosting the book launch party here on the campus of Morgan in the James E. Lewis Museum of Art, located inside Murphy Fine Arts. So I'm really excited about that.
All right. Good deal. So again, you know, you guys know that I'm passionate about entrepreneurship, helping all levels of individuals. And, you know, often here on Briefcase Radio Workshop, we bring on entrepreneurs, which we call small business insiders, just like yourself, to really provide resources to those who are thinking about becoming an entrepreneur and those that are entrepreneurs. So from your perspective, you know, there are some Morgan Knights that are listening right now who are thinking about starting their own business, as Raven says, about to fire their boss, or those individuals who are maybe in business for less than 5 years and they're kind of looking for some guidance and some resources. So let's start with you, Sadiq. You know, what advice would you give to Morganites that are on the on the tip of, yeah, I'm about to jump out to become an entrepreneur, or those individuals that have been in business for less than 5 years?
Right on. I'm glad you asked that first. As I was preparing for the show and just thinking about, you know, kind of potentially what you might ask, make sure I'm prepared somewhat. I was just thinking about common misconceptions about entrepreneurship. And I have a couple, and I'm sure that, again, Raven and Floyd can echo some of these sentiments. But I think the first one is that entrepreneurship is for everyone. That is a very, very common misconception, or that, right? Or quote unquote, that everyone can do it. So my first bit of advice is that, number one, realistically speaking, everybody has the ability to do it, probably deep down, but everybody won't do it, and they will not do the work necessary. So my first bit of advice is that begin now practicing in your current role for entrepreneurship. And what I mean by that is that, again, at your current job, at your 9-to-5, be it a stock boy, if you're in college right now, or all the way up until you have a degree and you're working a traditional 9-to-5 job, what is your mindset while you're at your job right now? Is it business owner mentality, or is it employee mentality? Because I can tell you, in my 8 years of working in quote-unquote corporate America, my mindset the entire time was building up my skills and expertise in the area of management, retail, leadership, merchandising, and some of those things, all with the expressed intent to one day fire my boss. So with that said, I encourage everyone to practice right now. And if you cannot see yourself in a leadership position right now, or you think that's really, really hard work, what your boss does, then entrepreneurship might not be for you. So I would say practice right now where you are, because there's never a good time to start. You have to start exactly where you are.
All right. Jump right in, Raven and Floyd.
I definitely agree with what you said, just as far as it being like a misconception that it's something that's for everybody. So to piggyback off of that, I think that what is, I don't know if I would really call this a misconception, but I would say it's something that is underrated within entrepreneurship, is what you have to do as far as the personal development standpoint. I personally feel like, regardless of how many investor dollars you have behind you or how great your idea is, I wholeheartedly believe that if you do not have what it takes mentally, you won't be able to be successful at being an entrepreneur, because it's so many times that you have to be your biggest cheerleader when nobody else believes in you and nobody else really, really sees the vision that you have. So you have to work very hard when you don't have any clients and you don't have any money in your bank account, and still believe in, you know, this is something that I can really do. So I think that it takes a lot of just mental toughness to be successful at it, and I feel like a lot of people underestimate that. Another thing that I would say is a misconception is that there's instant gratification when it comes to being an entrepreneur. People really only just see the successful side of things once you get your business off the ground, and they congratulate you like, oh, it's so nice, and I always knew it would be this, but they don't really see the built-up journey and the years of sleepless nights and constantly reinvesting in your business and not making any money. I mean, people don't see that side of things. They see the glamorous side, so they think that it's all about glitz and glamour, like I can get up and jump and go on a trip when I want to, and I can fly first class, right, and I get paid to do this, and I get paid to do that, and it's really not all fun and games at all. And it's something that should not be taken lightly, because it's not easy.
Good deal.
I agree with Raven, because it's a very hard job, and a lot of people think that it's glamorous, and it's not, because you are the one who's responsible for providing that service for the client, and also the one who may have to have an altercation with a client to resolve an issue. And if the client is not satisfied with what you have come up with as a resolution, you still have to be comfortable with it as a business person who you are, because remember, you have to take that on to the next business situation and the business situation after that. And you're measured on that. You're measured on that on each opportunity, and you have to learn from it, because it's going to be different. You're not going to satisfy every client, but you have to make sure that you learn, so that when you get the next situation, that it doesn't take you away from your focus on what you're trying to do in the business that you're trying to provide.
Good points, everybody. And it's really interesting that, you know, I constantly work with newbies as well as seasoned entrepreneurs, and especially with the Well, I should say, but with both, you know, when they transition from being an employee to being an employer, the mindsets are totally different. When they are an employee, they come to work on time and they get the work done. And then as an employer and as an entrepreneur, it tends to kind of disappear.
Wow.
The attitude tends to disappear. So you guys kind of hit on the nail on the head when you talked about, it is glamorous, but you have to kind of work up to that, you know, because it is hard work.
It can be glamorous.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So let's move on to another point. And that is, you know, we tend to give a lot of resources out here on Briefcase Radio Workshop. How do you identify your audience? You know, when you first started, you know, Floyd, you've been in business for 28 years. I don't know where I got 78, man, for 28 years. And, you know, Raven and Sadiq are kind of the newbies, even though they've been in business for a year or more. How do you identify who you're going to serve, provide in your case, the services to?
Well, my services are income tax preparation and accounting services. So for the period of January 1st through April 15th, people are pretty much going to be looking for people to do their tax returns. Mm-hmm. So that's one way of getting business. I do a little bit of marketing, but I don't do an extensive marketing because I look for folks who are looking for someone to do my taxes, and they come to me. Either it's a verbal referral or it may have been come from my little advertisement. But you also want to make certain that you are aware of what the trends are and what's going on out there. There used to be a time when tax returns were being prepared and they offered the rapid refund services, and whoever could get their money back the quickest, people were running that way. But pretty much now, everybody's on the same level. You get your direct deposits, pretty much everything is back to you in 7 to 10 days, and it's easy to happen. So all I do is try to make certain that my head is above everything else, pay attention to what's going on, and try to offer something that's maybe a little bit different than the other person is offering. And when you do that, you find that you do have people who come your way, and you learn from it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So let me ask a different question of Raven and Sadiq. It's kind of similar to the first question, and that is, you know, everybody is not going to be your customer. And you probably don't want to have everybody as your customer.
How
in some
that?
Cases, you know, I often say this on Briefcase Radio Workshop, you may want to fire some of your customers. So how do you identify who that ideal customer is, you know, especially for those people who are just getting started in business? I mean, I'm going to say a year, I should say 2 years, 2 years or less. I mean, how do you identify who the ideal customer is?
I think, and this is probably something that would also be considered like a misconception of entrepreneurship or things that entrepreneurs do. I think a lot of people make the mistake when they first start a business because they're so eager to get clients and customers and, you know, reach a certain revenue goal that they make the mistake of talking to everybody instead of talking to one person. One of the things that my business coach always tells me is you have to identify your audience of one. And with your audience of one, that's basically the person that should greatly benefit from your services instead of getting out there and just speaking to everybody. I always tell my clients that nobody wants to hire the person that's like the jack of all trades. They want to hire the person that's an expert in whatever specific area that they're looking for assistance in. That's like if you have a certain chronic illness, you want to talk to a specialist. You're not going to go to your primary care doctor to get that chronic illness, you know, taken care of. So I think that for me, in finding a person that was my ideal client, I already had a marketing background. My undergraduate degree is in public relations and marketing, so I knew the importance of just knowing, like, your target market and who you want to serve. But I feel like the first thing is you have to really identify how you can help people and what's the problem that your business solves, and that's going to really help you in figuring out who that ideal person is that you can help. Because once you figure out the problem that it solves, then you have to figure out who are the people that have this particular problem, and where can I find those people? So if you just say this is a service that I offer and you don't really fine-tune it down to a niche of people that you would like to work with, it's going to be really, really hard for you to find clients because you'll just be talking to everybody.
Absolutely.
Agreed. I agree with everything almost that these guys have said already. the thing that came to my mind, and Raven just kind of hit on it as well, but we've heard it said before that the riches are in the niches, that the riches are in the niches. And I think the other important thing to note too is, again, the innovation piece, the differentiation piece. What is it that's going to separate you from your competitors? What is the compelling reason that someone will choose you over someone else? I think Frank just said it in terms of the tax preparation. What else besides being able to get my money back quick are you going to provide for me? And in my opinion, a lot of that comes down to service, customer service, and again, identifying, like we've all said, those specific folks who are going to benefit most from this. But again, I would say the innovation is huge, the niche is huge, but again, I think that's one of my other sort of misconceptions that I wanted to bring up as well is the misconception that that entrepreneurs have no boss. That is the biggest misconception there is. Of course we have a boss. They're the customer. Right. They're the ones who vote with their dollars. Of course we have a boss, silly. And if they stop voting, I go out of business because I can't sell my service to myself.
Right.
So the innovation, I'd say, the niches, and that customer service piece are critical. And then just kind of the icing on the cake, I'd say, before we move on, is the passion piece. I think who you're passionate about serving and what you're passionate about is going to inform a lot of those early decisions about who you target and who you market to. So that's the most important piece, again, is identifying your passion. What do you really like to do? And again, I think a lot of that's going to inform the decisions that you make.
All right, good deal. So let me ask this question. You know, if you're just tuning in, this is Briefcase Radio Workshop, and we have a bunch of Morganites on tonight. We have Sadiq Ali, you just heard him, Millionaire Manners. We have Floyd Wright, Briscoe and Associates, and we have Raven Jones, Fire Your Boss Academy. And as well, follow us at MSU Startups. And again, this is an initiative to showcase startups that have been started by Morganites. So let's kind of back up. So when I work with entrepreneurs, I'm always asking them to identify, you know, what problem are you solving out there in the marketplace? And for Raven, let's start with you. You know, what problem, you know, when you started your business, what problem did you solve and are you solving? And what advice would you give to individuals who are saying, you know what, Omar, how do I kind of figure this out?
Mm-hmm. What advice would I give to people that are trying to figure out what problems that their business is solving?
Right. After you tell me how you solve, what problem you're solving.
Hmm. Okay. Well, basically, with my business, the problem that I would say that we solve is assisting people in getting over, like, the fears associated with being their own boss. It's something that so many people want to do, but they never really set out to do it because their problem is that they really don't know how. I mean, people don't have problems coming up with the idea and figuring out what it is that they're passionate about and what they really want to do, but it's like, how do I actually set out to start my own business and incorporate and all of those things that go along with the proper structure of the business, but then also, how do I create a sustainable business that's going to allow me to replace my current job's income and possibly even surpass that, you know, by doing what it is that I love to do. Mm-hmm. People think that they don't know how to do that because in most cases they're just afraid to often take that leap of faith that comes along with it. Like I always tell my clients, if you want to be an entrepreneur, the leap of faith has to be your only form of transportation. Mm. It cannot be a plan B. It can't be a plan C. It has to be, I'm focused on plan A, and, you know, this is what I want to work out, period. So what we do is have programs that focus on eliminating all of those factors for people because fear is the biggest problem. Fear is the biggest problem, and procrastination is probably another problem. And then just also factors associated with just not believing in yourself. So all of those things, I would say, kind of factor into one main problem of just being in your own way when you're trying to set out to fire your boss. So that's the problem that we solve, is helping people get out of their own way so that we can bring out their inner greatness and really help them achieve the goal that they want of working for themselves. I would say for other people that are trying to identify the problem that their business solves, you have to really be in touch with what it is that you want to do and who it is that you really want to work with so that you can figure out how you can best help them.
There's a song, I'm trying to remember it, Move, Get Out the Way. I don't know if it goes like that, but yeah.
That was pretty close.
Get out the way.
Right, get out the way.
All right, Floyd.
Well, Raven hit it on the head with that word fear.
Yeah.
A lot of people do have the fear. A number of people look at other entrepreneurs and say, how can you do it? How can you step out and actually do that? And they don't realize that sometimes you just have to put your heart into it, take it as far as you possibly can, and do it. If you're going to be selling Scotch tape in your store, you want to be the best Scotch tape seller that's around. Even if some guy next door to you or down the street has the purple Scotch tape, you want to have the best Scotch tape because that's your business. And at the end of the day, when you go home at night to your family, you want to be able to know that you've done the best you can for the services that you're providing for your clientele. And once you have that in your heart, you'll move forward. When you have that fear, it holds you back. You can't go anywhere. Your feet are planted in the concrete, and you can't get anywhere. I think Raven put it right on the nose. He said fear, because a lot of people have it. They just don't step out.
Agreed. And I think, again, the problem that we're looking to solve with Millionaire Manners Academy and the problem that I'm head-on addressing in my book is, again, a combination of all the things that we've just said. A lot of times that there are folks in their careers or in their personal lives that don't move ahead because of that fear, either that fear of rejection or that fear of not having enough confidence. But through Millionaire Manners Academy, we address those specific needs, those specific fears that folks have in those social settings and those professional settings. Because how many folks do we know who are super knowledgeable about their jobs or super passionate about a particular topic but don't have the personal confidence or have that personal, again, just belief in themselves to be able to navigate in certain situations, to get out there and network, which is one of the most valuable things that you can do in business, to put yourself out there from a fear standpoint of cold contacting folks and ask them, would they be interested in your services? Mm. So there's a number of things that we address, again, especially Millionaire Manners Academy from a youth standpoint. Our primary audience is high school age students on up through college and recent grads. And these are some of the folks that need etiquette, manners, professional and personal development and training more than anyone, especially in this generation when we're just constantly bombarded with so much information. So again, that's also part and parcel of the advice that I would give to those students potentially listening or any individuals listening about, again, how they identify what problem. My brother, who's also an entrepreneur and who runs a radio show very similar to this, Omar, I have to put you in contact with him.
All right, man.
but one of the questions, one of the things that he always says is that every single time that you complain about something, that's the seed for a business. Mm-hmm. Every single time you have a complaint about something or say something along the lines of, man, why don't they do this? Or I sure wish they did this. Or, man, I hate when they do that. That's the seed of your business right there. So those are words that I've absolutely lived by. He's, you know, my big brother. He's a mentor of mine, sounding board. We form a strong mastermind alliance. So I really, really believe in those words. So I would just ask everybody to keep in mind when you complain, that's the seed of your business right there.
Yep.
All right, good deal. Well, we're going to take our first break, and we'll continue with Briefcase Radio Workshop right after this.